Tonight is Tuesday night, September 17th. This is the women's Gemara share taking place on Tuesday instead of Wednesday night. And we're doing a topic for Yom Kippur.
Okay, Rabotai. What I'd like to do tonight is explain to you what exactly is Kol Nidre and why we begin the Yom, as we call in the Hasidic world, Yom HaKadosh. Why do we begin it with Kol Nidre? So I'm going to present two perspectives initially, the Rush and the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rush will say one thing, the Rabbeinu Tam will ask four or five questions, we'll ask a couple of additional questions, then we'll present the Rabbeinu Tam's answer, then I'll share with you the Rav's suggestion as to what Kol Nidre is all about. So if you go to the page which looks like the Rush, not the Kol Nidre page, the Rush writes as follows. V'holchin lebeit hakneset, you go to shul on Yom Kippur night, v'nohagu, and the custom is, shehachazan motzi sefer Torah, the chazan takes out the sefer Torah, it doesn't mean the chazan, it means somebody takes out the sefer Torah, v'omer, and he says, kol nidre v'esare, etc., etc., dindarna u'deishtabana u'deacharimna, miyom kippurim she'ovar ad yom kippurim zeh. Yom kippurim she'ovar ad yom kippurim zeh. That's not what we say, but that was the text that the Rush had. So if you flip it over for a second, so our text reads miyom kippurim zeh ad yom kippurim haba. So I put a little X there and wrote on the bottom, Miyom Kippurim She'avar Ad Yom Kippurim Zeh. And the Rush will explain what this is all about in 1 second. Go back to the other page, right after the underlined words, U'mitkavnim Lahatir Hanidarim, and the intention is to release you of all vows, Charamot, v'hashluot, all of those words are synonyms for nidarim, different types of vows. Ulai avru alehem, perhaps they violated any of the oaths. Ukidei lihinatzel min ha'onesh. Why do you want to release yourself of all vows? To be spared the punishment that awaits you for violating the lav, the neder. That's all the Rush said. So, in other words, Rush believes that Kol Nidre is real Hatarat Nidarim. That's what he seems to say. Hatarat Nidarim. So, I am going to tell you how Hatarat Nidarim takes place under normal circumstances, and why you will now challenge the Rush, as did the Rabbeinu Tam. Here is what happens. When somebody makes a vow, the Torah tells us, Motza Sfatecha Tishmor. You ought to observe everything that you utter from your mouth. You can't just violate it. That's a positive command. Observe, fulfill the words that come out of your mouths. And there is a lav as well. Lo yachel devaro. Don't desecrate your word by making a commitment and fail to keep it. However, if somebody made a vow and did not anticipate the consequences of that vow, made a vow and then, oh my God, look what's happening now. There is a way to seek release of that vow by going to a Bet Din and telling the Bet Din, had I known about X, Y, and Z, I would never have made the vow. Okay? The Bet Din listens and says, okay, that seems plausible. We will release you of that particular vow. So I'm going to give you my favorite example. I take a vow that I am never going to eat meat again. I'm going to be a vegetarian. Can you imagine that? I'm going to be a vegetarian. Okay. 3 weeks after I make the vow, my daughter gets engaged, and I start planning the wedding. And I realize, at my own daughter's wedding, I'm not going to be able to eat the spare ribs, nor the chopped liver, nor the my favorite, the sweetbreads. Okay, I've told many people at Marina that if you don't have sweetbreads, you're not married. Even though I was a Masada Kedusha, I'm telling you, you're not married if there were no sweetbreads. So I go to the Bet Din and I say, had I known that my daughter is going to be engaged in 3 weeks, I would never have made the neder. That statement is called a petach, a doorway. It's a way for the Bet Din to see that I really didn't think of the consequences of the neder, and they will then release me of that particular neder. That's what you have to do in order to gain a release of a neder. You have to come to a Bet Din. You have to ask them which neder, what is the neder, and why do you want to be released? So if they find that your reason is plausible because you did not anticipate the consequences of your action, then they will release it. That's Hatarat Nedarim. If anybody's been in shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah, all of Am Yisrael in traditional shuls, aren't many women present, that is true, but all the men do Hatarat Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. They don't necessarily outline every single neder. What they do is they read a text. It's printed in every single Siddur. And they go through, read a whole text and say, if I made any nedarim, and you know what? I don't really want them to be in existence now, without telling the Bet Din why and so on and so forth. Say they read this long paragraph, Bet Din says you're released, and that's it. That's what we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So now, if you heard this from Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh, what questions would you ask him about his understanding of Kol Nidre? Tell me what I described and tell me what's lacking in the Kol Nidre service based on what the Rosh thinks Kol Nidre is all about. So, the Chazan can't release me of my Nidarim without asking to be released. He can't. And secondly, is the Chazan a Bet Din? Not a Bet Din.
What kind of is the Bet Din?
Three people. Three men. No, there are times when the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to have a woman, but under normal circumstances, three men. Fine. What else is missing?
You're not enumerating what you're...
You're not asking the Bet Din, which neder do you want the Chazan to be to release you of?
Cool.
All of them? Every neder in the world? Exactly. Are you expressing, I didn't anticipate what? The consequences? What are you talking about? Plus, just one more, the Rabbeinu Tam will ask, who's going to release the Chazan of his vows? You cannot release your own vows. Even if you're the greatest scholar in the world. Yes.
In terms of listing the Nedarim, but when you do Hatar Nedarim, you also don't list, you just say every Neder and Shu and Isur and everything.
Okay, that's the way we do it.
Right.
But that's not even the real Hataras Nedarim. That is just, as I said, you ask the Beis Din, please release me of every single vow. Every single vow. As to whether that is effective or not, that's a debate. But let's assume it is, because everybody does it. I would imagine it is. But at least you're asking a Beis Din to release you of all vows, telling them in not very clear terms, I'm asking you to be released because... you know, if I'm going to be held accountable, I'm going to suffer. One day I'm going to violate it, and I don't want to get punished. It's a very severe punishment. I hate to say it, because I can't understand it. I can't understand it. The Gemara Nidarim tells us, Ba'avon Nidarim Banim Meitim. For having violated a vow, your children pass away. I can't explain it. It's hard for me to utter those words. But that's what the Gemara says. And the Rush here is acknowledging that that's why people want to be released of their vows. And he thinks it's being accomplished through the recitation of the Kol Nidre. Yes.
So is there a difference in the terminology of the Rush and what we say? Is it Miyom Kippurim She'avar?
Yes, that's why the Rush has Miyom Kippurim She'avar. It makes sense. Because what is the release? It means any vow that I made from last year until tonight, I'm asking you to release me.
So why do we say it the release it?
Because we're not finished yet. Hold on. Hold on a second.
You say any vow I make?
Hold on a second. Hold on. That's what the Rush says. All of your questions are the questions which the Rabbeinu Tam asked on the Rush. Plus, there are a couple of more that I would add. Why does it have to be done Yom Kippur night? You want to make sure that you're not held accountable? Do it any time. Go to a real Beis Din and think of a neder that you make. You know what? I don't want to violate this. Please release me. Why would the Kiddushas HaYom of Yom HaKippurim, why would it start with this process which does not necessarily have to be done Yom Kippur night? This Hatarat Nedarim can be done any night of the year, any day of the year. In fact, normally it can't be done at night. That's why we start Kol Nidre daytime, because Beis Din does not sit in session at night, only during the day.
Is it possible that Yom Kippur can't be mechaper on things that you assert on yourself and you want to release yourself from that before you...
No, Yom Kippur doesn't have to be mechaper unless you transgressed.
Right, well that's...
Well, if you did transgress, it's like being Mechal Shabbos. I transgressed.
It's the most inclusive moment of the whole last year. Up until
Okay, so it could have been done Yom Kippur in the morning. Why does it have to start with Yom Kippur night? Why?
Because you want to be pure before you...
Just from the pure from this transgression. Okay. Yeah, question? No? Okay. If you turn over for a second, does it explain why you say those psukim underneath? Why do you say those psukim? Slach no lavayin hazeh and shechiyan. Why do you make shechiyan? We have to call nidre.
Collective.
What?
Is there such a thing as a collective neder?
No.
There isn't.
No.
The plural here means a group of individuals.
Correct.
It's not.
That is correct. Every neder is a personal declaration, and I can't annul your vows, and you can't annul my vows.
Is there a formula for a neder, or I just say?
No, you just say, I will do such a thing. That's enough. Right? The Gemara, it doesn't have to go, in order for some halachot to apply, it has to have a certain language. But bottom line, it makes no, I promise to do this, I say I am going to do this. All of those are nidarim. Yes.
So based on what you said a few minutes ago about the seriousness of the neder, it makes sense that there would be a taras nedarim before the holiest day of the year begins. In other words, add to the grandeur and to the seriousness of the time. And that's why you're doing one of the most important things right before one of the most important things.
It's one aveira of 613 mitzvot. Why this one has to be done as you're in shul 2 minutes before Maariv? Nothing else? What about the rest of tshuva and all the other averos that you did?
So it depends on how serious the nedarim are.
It's a serious offense, but it's not the most serious offense in all of... No, not the most. It's not the most.
Children die. Okay,
but that's... Again, I can't relate to that. And there are... other aveirot for which the same phrase in the Gemara appears. Yeah.
You're just thinking about, like, you're not really saying it or saying it in front of anyone. Does it still count?
No. Really do hatarat nedarim, you have to ask the
bed. Like, when you make the vow, though.
When you make the vow?
Presence of other people.
No, absolutely.
So in your own mind, you could just say, you know, I'm going to.
Okay, this. So it depends. In your mind, that doesn't take effect at all. Unless it's a neder for tzedakah or a korban, you are obligated to observe a vow that you thought about. You know what? They're making an appeal, and I thought I'm going to get $50.
Yeah.
So when it comes to redeem, you can't say, I'm only giving 18.
Because it's just in your mind, it's obligated.
Nidrei tzedakah are take effect even belave.
What about other?
All others have to be enunciated.
Even if no one hears it.
Even the Levate Bisfasayim, says the Pasuk in Vayikra. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that in order for a nether to be like a nether on an Easter, let's say that you say that this apple is usur for me. I thought that it does have to be in the specific language, saying that it's usur like a korban.
That's the primary way in with the Gemara. Then the Gemara says there are yadot. Other ways of saying it, but you're right. That's when you're using hatfasa. I want to prohibit the apple just like this is prohibited unto me. But you don't have to go through that route. You can prohibit it directly. I'm never gonna eat an apple, which is not a neder, it's a shvua.
That's a shvua, because
that's... Correct, and it takes effect. Right, with the apple, you generally have to use the language of konam, which is a korban expression. Correct. But you can prohibit it without going through that route of what we call hatfasa. Don't have to. Yeah.
And one other thing, kol nidrei for all of us in this room wouldn't work anyway, right? Because we can't have a basin.
Sure you can.
Don't we have to have...
only a neder that is beino lebeina, a neder that you make that impacts on the relationship of a husband and wife. But if it's just a neder that you're not going to eat apples, that's got nothing to do with your husband. I'm not going to read the New York Times. That's not your husband. That's not your husband.
I have to tell that to my former brother-in-law, who was always master neder for my sister, who would say she's not going to eat cake.
Okay, so food. Okay, yeah, good. So now, Rabbeinu Tam said, "Kol Nidrei night is not hatarat nedarim." What is Kol Nidrei night? I'm just going to explain the concept. I want you to look in every sidur where it's listed hatarat. I should have had it here. What the regular Hatarat Nedarim looks like, and then you'll see what it is. After we come to ask acknowledgement, we make a statement which tries to protect us from every vow that I will make in the future. I make the following declaration. Every vow that I make for the next year should be null and void right now. Right now. So if I really want a vow to take place, what do I have to do? I have to remember that 6 months ago I made this declaration, and I have to say, this one is an exception. Again, There is a process, and here are the two words which indicate what it is. It's called Misirat Moda'a. Misirat is an announcement that has been made. I made an announcement to the courts that I'm telling you, as of today, right now, any neder that I make for the next year should automatically be null and void. So if I make a neder in 5 months that I'm not allowed to eat meat, okay, it's not valid. It's not valid. I make a neder I'm never going to a Citi Field, the neder is not valid. Not valid.
You can't do that because you can't live your, you know, people are expecting you to make a commitment about something that you have ahead of time, you know it's going to all not be valid.
No, it's not going to be valid.
Well, then,
if you want it to be valid, you have to remember, oh, 6 months ago, I made that broad declaration, I want this to be an exception. Once you say this is an exception, now that particular neder takes place. Correct. It's the opposite of retroactively annulling. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, that's what Kol Nidre is. And that's why Rabbeinu Tam changed the text from the past to what? To the future. Not Miyom Kippurim Sha'avar Ad Yom Kippurim Zeh, but the way our text reads, Miyom Kippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim Haba Aleinu Litova. Because what you're doing is, you're making this announcement, which the Chazan is declaring for you, it's less of a problem. He's saying it, and we are, in effect, agreeing to his proclamation that any neder, shvua, any oath whatsoever that any of us make is declared null and void as of this minute. That's what is taking place Kol Nidre night. Did this have to take place Yom Kippur night? No, you can do it any time of the year. Yeah.
Is the sin Beinatum HaMakam or Beinatum HaMakam
Beirah? It depends. Okay. What the neder is.
Okay,
so most nedarim are Beinatum HaMakam.
But
if I make a promise to give you something, so then it's both. It's Bein Adam L'Chaveh, right? I didn't honor my commitment to you, and I didn't honor my commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Always Bein Adam L'Makom.
Always Bein Adam L'Makom, every, yes.
So, even the rhythm of Rabbeinu Tam has changed.
Yes.
Isn't Kol Nidre
internally inconsistent on our tenses? Of course. 100%. So therefore, those who follow the Rabbeinu Tam have to change every verb in Kol Nidre, because so the Rav did. He told the Chazan, twice you're going to say it the way the regular text appears, and once you're going to do it like the Rabbeinu Tam. And he wrote out all of the different verbs. Instead of dirndana or the ishtabana, which are on the past tense, he put in the future tense. Every single one of them. Yeah, strange. Very strange. Yes.
So if this is what's happening, and you're saying the Olin Nedarim you're going to make are going to be invalid, what's the point of the Torah Nedarim in general?
Because what happens if you made an exception to your rule?
So it's only for those. What happens if nobody makes an exception?
Then you never have to do a Torah Nedarim. That's true.
That's why women don't do it.
You don't have to do a Torah Nedarim. But did you make this declaration? Yeah. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, if you never made a neder, being cognizant of Kol Nidre night, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, we actually do this on Erev Rosh Hashanah as well. After we assemble a Bet Din, and everybody makes their declaration, please release me, the next paragraph which we say is, oh, I'm telling you Bet Din, every vow that I make for the next year is null and void as of today. Okay? Yes?
If you're going to do this anyway, why say from now until a year from now? Why don't you just say from now until a year?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer why such an announcement has to have a limitation of a year. I don't know. Don't know? That's what they all say. So, I want to share. So, again, it's a little difficult for the men in the room to appreciate this, because we all do both of these, the Rush's Hatarat Nedarim and the Rabbeinu Tam's declaration for the future. We all do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Every single man does it on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So what's the big deal about Kol Nidrei night for us? And even for you, what's the big deal of Kol Nidrei night? What's the big deal? That's why, this is what we, yeah, you can't make that promise some other day of the year. To make that promise anytime. You know what? We should start the Seder. Every year, we'll start the Seder. You know, we'll make a promise for next year. Why does it have to be done Yom Kippur night? Yes. Why do you take out, why do you take out the Sefer Torah? Yes.
It seems to me that the entire Yom Kippur, we are making the Dharam. We're making the Dharam that we do true. We're making the Dharam that we're changing. We're making the Dharam that we know we're going to do this. And this was the flaw.
Terribly.
Terribly. Yeah.
I'm under. No. I should say. I should say. Good. Very nice suggestion. It's a very nice suggestion. But I should add that there is a clause when you make these promises and you want it to be annulled, it's with the exception of Nidrei Mitzvah. If you take a neder to do a mitzvah, you don't want it annulled. So we state right up in front that a mitzvah neder is not included in my automatic annulment.
Well, I think that what we think about on Yom Kippur is all of the lofas that we're older, and I will ask
you. Correct. That is true. That is true.
Taking it to say return would be maybe as an agent.
Perhaps. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
So then if you took a neder to give tzedakah, that is a mitzvah. That would not be.
That would not be included. It says in the text of that long passage, chutz mi nidrei mitzvah. Nidrei mitzvah. I don't, yeah.
Well, I have a problem with it in general because I think the whole point of a neder being such an important thing is that you really, as you said, you have to be very careful when you open your saying what you promise. People do vows in business all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shake hands, give this respect. And then you're right away having an exit strategy mm-hmm. in the beginning. And it doesn't seem like the way we should be doing things. That you have immediately an exit vow. I'll make a vow, but I'm going to be okay because I did this. So you have to actually think of the negative, and the person you're making the vow to may not know that you have this exit strategy. Mm-hmm. So you have to say, except for this one.
Right.
So to me, it just doesn't seem like a good thing.
Because it's encouraging you not to.
Encourage you to open your mouth and make
pledges, and then not be held accountable.
Right. Exactly. No. And this is a time in where we're supposed to be the opposite. This is
accountable.
We're supposed to be accountable.
Good. Exactly. Excellent question. Excellent question.
So, does this have anything to do with that Soloveitchik? About the Luchos, the second set of Luchos?
No. Seven? No. So, if you now go to the other page, which has the text of the Kol Nidrei, the Rav also asked, according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush, what are those opening lines that the Chazan introduces the Kol Nidrei with? Be Yeshiva Shomala, Be Yeshiva Shomata. Aldas hamakom v'aldas hakohol anu matirin lehis palel imavar yanim. Well, what does this got to do with anything? And therefore, in one of his tshuva drushes, the Rav said this. There must have been 2,000 people. It was, as always, in the Hilton Hotel Grand Ballroom. That's where he used to give the tshuva drusha in Yiddish, 3 hours. Most of the time was on the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and he always said, in the name of Reb Chaim, that the Rambam has 10 chapters of Hilchos Tshuva. And it's not a coincidence, he said. You should learn one perek of Hilchos Tshuva each day of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That's why the Rambam did it. I'm not sure that's the reason, but anyhow. But that year, he decided to focus on Kol Nidrei, and I thought that, in my opinion, that was the best Chuvid Russia I ever heard. And the Rav said as follows. What's taking place at Kol Nidrei service is, yes, a Bezdin. You'll notice that when the Chazan recites Kol Nidrei, there are two people who flank him. That's not just to create an honor by the gabbai to honor somebody. It's required. Two people have to flank the chazan. Why? Because we want to create a bezdin. Plus, at the time of the Geonim, only the chazan and the two people standing next to him wore a talus. Nobody else wore a talus. Because at night, we never wear a talus. Never. In fact, on Shabbos Shuvah, I'm going to talk about suggesting an alternate reason why men wear a talus. And I'm going to apologize to the women, so you'll hear this, that I took a topic that women will say, I'm not related to it. Because we don't wear a talus. But the message of what I'm going to suggest is equally applicable to men and women, whether you're wearing a talus or not. But anyhow, initially, the Geonim said, the only people wearing a talus are those two people, three people, Chazan and the two people flanking him. Why do they have to wear a talus? Because the Rambam tells us, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well, that every time a bezdin is in session, they should put on a talus. Why? Because we believe that God's Shekhinah is ever present with Dayanim. Where do we find that idea? In today's Shir Shel Yom. Yom Shlishi. Elohim Nitzav Ba'adat El. God is standing together with those who are engaged in judgment. Bekerev Elohim Yishpot. So wherever we believe there's a higher sense of divine revelation, in order to protect the individuals from the overpowering radiation of God's Shekhinah, we put on a talus to symbolize, I have to be protected from the divine spirit radiating in my presence. I'll give you two other illustrations. During Birchat Kohanim, what do the Kohanim do when they recite Birchat Kohanim? They put the talus over their heads and they cover their fingers. A lot of them. Because the Gemara tells us that God's Shekhinah rests on the fingertips of the Kohanim during Birchat Kohanim. That's why we're not supposed to look. We have been ingrained from time we were 3 years old. Don't look at the Kohanim. And once you tell a little kid to look at the Kohanim, of course he's going to look at the Kohanim. Because you're going to get blind. That's what everybody was told. It's a medrash. But it means be cognizant of the unusual presence of the Shekhinah. If anybody would go to Rabbi Jachter's shul for Tkiya Shofar, Eidot HaMizrach, the Baal Tokeya never reveals the shofar. He takes his talus, puts the talus over his head, and he blows from underneath it. Because shofar, as we will see when we read Tfilat Shofrot on Rosh Hashanah, represents Gilui Shekhinah. That's what the bracha of shofar is. Atah niglesa ba'anan kivodecha. Shofar represents divine revelation. Divine revelation at Sinai. Divine revelation in the Beit HaMikdash. Divine revelation when the Mashiach is going to come. That's what the bracha of shofar is all about. So if shofar represents Gilui Shekhinah, again, you want to protect all of the people and not expose the shofar. That's why Kohanim do that. So too, since these three people will constitute a bet din and issue two piskei din, they will issue two piskei halacha tonight. Therefore, they wear a talis. Later on, after the Gaonic period, it became the minhag in some communities to wear a talis. I will mention the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha that there are many Rishonim who said, I never saw a talus on anybody Yom Kippur night. We never wore a talus, never heard of this business. Anyhow. This Bet Din tonight is going to make two major decisions. Number one, Anu Matirin Lehipalel Im Ha'avar Yanim. If somebody transgressed communal policy, what they used to do is put him into nidui, excommunication. There's a Rambam that tells you you're supposed to excommunicate people for 20 different things. Now anybody, so in our day and age, if you are instructed by a Bet Din to give a get, and you don't do so, you are officially in Cherem. And if you come to shul, we're going to stop the davening, and we're not going to continue until you leave the shul. Because somebody in Cherem is not allowed to appear in shul. You're not allowed to interact with him. If you're a business person, not allowed to sell him anything. Except on Yom Kippur night, the Bet Din releases the Cherem for 24 hours. So, Din Torah, Psak Halacha number one of this Bez Din is, Anu Matirin, we are going to release and allow the Avaryanim, the transgressors, those people who have been put into Cherem, and we hope that they will be inspired by the davening of Yom Kippur together with their fellow brethren and ultimately do the right thing. Pay their taxes, give the get, whatever else was the cause of being put into Cherem. That's Din Torah number one. Din Torah number two, that's symbolically taking place, is that this Bet Din, which is the reference to Yeshiva Shalmata, that's the sitting of Bez Din here, will call upon the Bez Din Shalmala, the Yeshiva Shalmala, the Bez Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as they take everybody's file, my file, your file. After all, on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the judgment for the vast majority of people. On Rosh Hashanah, he only signs and seals those who are Tzadikim Gemurim and Rishayim Gemurim. He handles them on Rosh Hashanah. Tzadikim Gemurim are promised a year of health and good life on Rosh Hashanah if you're a Tzadik Gemur. Most of us are not Tzadikim Gemurim, and most of us are not Rishayim Gemurim. So our decision is going to be decided on Yom Kippur, not on Rosh Hashanah. So, the Bez Din Shalmata, the three guys, the Chazan and the two people there, the Bez Din, are going to argue your case and my case and tell the Bez Din Shalmala, we think that you deserve to be forgiven. You deserve to be forgiven. Asks the Yeshiva Shalmala to the Yeshiva Shalmata, based on what? What is your argument? Says the Chazan Kol Nidre. The Chazan, the Bez Din, use the logic of Kol Nidre as our defense against our transgression. Exactly. What did I tell you is the essence of how the release of a vow works? What's the essence of it? You ask the Bez Din to release you. Why? Because I didn't really understand the consequences of my action. In effect, the Chazan, the Bez Din, is telling that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adler, when he did X, Y, and Z, he didn't do it out of a sense of rebelliousness. He did it for one reason or another. Had he known that this transgression is going to impact his relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had he only thought it through, What would he have done at that time? He never would have done it. So in effect, the Chazan is pleading on behalf of himself and the entire Kehillah that as each person's file comes up in the presence of the Yeshiva Shamala, I, the Chazan, am pleading with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know they didn't mean it. They are regretting because they didn't understand the consequences of their action. They gave in to temptation. They were attracted to the money, whatever it is. If they only had stopped and paused 2 seconds before they transgressed and thought about what this action is going to do to their relationship with you, I am convinced, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they would never have done it. Says the Rav, Kol Nidre is not Hatarat Nedarim. Kol Nidre is not really making that announcement for years, for going forward. Kol Nidre is a principle which is being used, the philosophy of this activity called Hatarat Nedarim is being used by the Bet Din Shalmata to argue your case in the presence of the Bet Din Shalmala.
And then it makes sense about it being the past year.
Of course. That's why it's the past year. Of course. But hold on, it gets better. That's why, said the Rav, we recite the Pasuk 3 times right after the Pasuk found at the end of Parsha Shlach. V'nislach l'chol adat b'nei Yisrael v'lager agar b'tocham. Why do I say that Pasuk? Ki l'chol ha'am b'shigaga. Wow. Why do I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for atonement? V'nislach l'chol adat b'nei Yisrael. Because it wasn't deliberate. It wasn't rebellious. How should you classify all of their Averot? Shkogeg. Not Mezid. Not Mered. As the Chazan feels he's got HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his hands now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. He's accepting my logic on his behalf. Comes the next charge, next pasuk, also found in Parsha Shlach. Suddenly the Chazan makes a request. Slach no lavoin hamazeh ki goydel chasdecha. Rabbi Yishalayla, I've just presented the most powerful argument I can muster. I don't believe anybody is chose to rebel against you. Therefore, forgive them. Just as you forgave Am Yisrael so many times from the time they left Mitzrayim. You forgave them at the Egel, you forgave them at this one and that one. And then music to my ears. Ayomer Hashem, Salachni Kivarecha. Chazan, I accepted it. Salachni Kivarecha. So even though we will say that phrase, these 2 phrases, Salachni Olamazen, hundreds of times of Slichos starting next Saturday night, and over Yom Kippur, dozens of times, but it's the only 2 psukim lifted from the Slichos for Yom Kippur night, for Kol Nidre. Now, here's the next clincher. I once told you in our shir that the bracha of Shechayanu is always the bracha recited in association with Simcha. Simcha. I told you that the Baal Amor said that we do not recite a Brecha Shechayanu when we count the Omer the first night,
Because today, the Omer is a Zecher L'Churban HaMikdash. Because there's no Beit HaMikdash, we don't have a Korban Omer, so the entire counting of the Omer B'Zman HaZeh is only a Zecher L'Mikdash. And it has a tinge of mourning, of Avelut associated, because we're highlighting the absence of the Mikdash. Therefore, there's no Shechianu. Because the Brach of Shechianu is always recited at a moment of Simcha. There is no greater joy in Mudville than hearing the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Solachti Kidvarecha. No greater joy. And therefore, we could have recited the Shechianu anytime. Anytime. But when does our tradition tell us to recite the Shechianu? Right after Kol Nidre. After you hear what's going on, and hear Solachti Kidvarecha, Chazan bursts out to Shechianu, because that is the bracha of Simcha, of Yom Kippur night. And Yom Kippur is a day of great joy. Great joy. There is a debate amongst Rishonim as to whether Yom Kippur is Mevatel Avelus. Does it cancel Avelus or not? The Rambam is of the opinion that Yom Kippur does not cancel out Avelus. Neither does Rosh Hashanah. Only the three big regalim, where it says V'samachta b'chagecha, where there is an outward expression of Simcha, they override Avelus. We paskin against the Rambam. We say that Rosh Hashanah terminates Avelus and Yom Kippur terminates Avelus. Even though you don't eat a thing, no basar, no yayin. So where's the great Simcha? The great Simcha is our belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant atonement. And that is the greatest spiritual element of Simcha possible.
So,
yeah?
The Kivarecha is really nice because Hashem could just say Salakti, I forgive you.
Of course.
The Kivarecha is what you told
me. Based on what you asked me.
Right.
Exactly. Kivarecha. In the Chumash, it has a totally different application. Totally different application. Moshe, in the Chumash, it has a different application. Moshe said this Slachna also by the Meraglim. By the Meraglim, Moshe did not ask for complete forgiveness as he did by the Chet HaEgel. What language did Moshe use by the Chet HaEgel? Lama yechera asher be'amecha. Why are you getting angry? Asher hotzeisa osam me'eretz Mitzrayim. Who you took out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Says the Medrash, and what did Moshe tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And you put them in Mitzrayim. So where do you think they learned about the Egel from? Where do you think they learned that worship? Mm. Mitzrayim. You put him there. It's your fault. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu was much quicker to forgive. By the Chet HaMeraglim, Moshe did not have very many compelling arguments to use why HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive them. The only one that he had was, what are the nations of the world going to say? That you, God, could overpower Mitzrayim, but you couldn't overpower Amalek and the Canaanim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not grant complete atonement. We died out. But over 40 years. So Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll forgive them, Kidvarecha. Based on your request, knowing that it wasn't such a powerful defense of Am Yisrael as you normally, Moshe, are capable of doing. But here, the Rav used it in terms of what's happening on Yom Kippur night. Kidvarecha, like the Chazan, like the Bezdin Shalmata, just stated. So therefore, this is a real Besdin that makes two decisions. It makes a decision about the Avarianim that they can join us, and makes a decision about you and me that we deserve to be forgiven, and we beseech the Besdin Shamala to fully concur with our decision here on earth. That's why Kol Nidre begins Yom Kippur. It's related specifically to Yom Kippur. It's not Hataras Tadar, which could have been done any time of the year. It had to be done right now. Because tonight is the night for Bakasha, for Mechila, Slicha, and Kapara, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I once spoke at a Chazanim's convention, and I went through this whole Kol Nidre scenario with them. And dozens of Chazanim came over to me and said, you know, I've been davening for 30 years and had no clue what Kol Nidre is all about. I thought it was Hataras Nadar. Couldn't understand. Well, maybe, okay, that's what everybody said. Say Hataras Nadar. This is, it's just unbelievable how it should impact your understanding and why people should flock to the shul for Kol Nidre. At the beginning, as the day of Yom Kippur is about to start. About to start. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Stop here. That's why I did it.